Welcome to the debate. Imagine you buy an old house, right? You walk inside, you look at this wall dividing two rooms, and you think, you know, we can knock that down. It'll really open up the space.
Sure, the classic open concept renovation.
Exactly. But then the structural engineer comes in, taps the drywall, and says, hey, that's a load-bearing wall. You take that out, the roof caves in.
Right. It's foundational.
Yeah.
The wall isn't just dividing space. It is doing the invisible, everyday work of holding up the entire structure of the house.
And you really don't notice the weight it carries until you start talking about removing it.
Precisely. And for all of modern history, traditional human labor has been essentially the load-bearing wall of our civilization. I mean, it didn't just give us an income.
No, not at all. It gave us our schedules, our status, our community, and our fundamental sense of purpose. But as artificial general intelligence accelerates and, well, traditional labor decreases, humanity faces this profound crisis of meaning.
The wall is coming down.
The wall is definitely coming down. So our focus today is on a proposed solution to this impending structural collapse. It comes from the E1 Codex and RacketNext documents.
Right, a system called E1.
Yeah, E1, dubbed the Everyone Sport. It is a $99 global virtual reality sports network designed to provide the structure, the status, and the belonging that jobs used to provide.
Which leads us to the core question of this discussion. Can a virtual reality sport realistically replace the traditional meaning of work for humanity?
It's a massive question.
It is, and I definitely come at it from a very different angle than the architects of this system.
Well, when I look at this source material, what stands out to me is how E1 takes the psychological benefits of a job, you know, the routine, the motivation, the visible contribution, and it brilliantly systematizes them into a scalable human network.
You really think it can bear that weight?
I do. I see a framework capable of delivering true meaning and civic stability in a post-labor century.
Well, and while I definitely acknowledge E1 might be a highly effective health tool and a great socialization tool, I see a fundamental misunderstanding of the nature of human purpose here.
A misunderstanding?
Yeah. Attempting to substitute the complex, foundational reality of human economic necessity with a gamified, physics-based VR racket sport is a massive leap. And frankly, I think it's a precarious one.
Okay, well, let me outline exactly how this architecture works. Because I know if you're listening to this, you're probably rolling your eyes at the idea that a $99 VR headset is going to save humanity's sense of purpose.
It does sound a bit absurd on the surface.
It does. I totally get it. But when we talk about the end of work, we tend to fixate entirely on universal basic income, right?
Right, the financial piece.
Exactly. We think, well, if we just solve the cash flow problem, humanity will be fine. But the source material correctly identifies that human meaning after work will not organize itself.
That is true. Meaning takes work.
Yeah. And the primary psychological benefits of traditional work are structure, a place to matter, and team identity. E1 reconstructs these provisions without the drudgery of forced labor.
But how, practically speaking?
It does this through a very precise mechanism. It operates in a 2-meter clay circle using this low-cost, purpose-built gear. And it utilizes a game called RacketNext, which relies entirely on real-world physics, not arbitrary game mechanics.
Meaning, if I can jump in, there's no button you press to execute a perfect swing.
Exactly. To understand why physics matter here, imagine playing a standard video game where pushing a button makes your character swing a sword. That's arbitrary.
Right.
In RacketNext, the game tracks the actual torque, the speed, and the angle of your real physical arm. If you don't physically exert yourself and swing hard, the virtual ball just doesn't go far.
It's tethered to biological reality.
Yes, exactly. So with UBI covering basic survival and cash flow, ENK1 steps into that meaning gap. It becomes a civic necessity that industrializes belonging, creating what the framework calls the human bond.
Okay, I want to be very clear at the outset here. I do acknowledge the technological achievement of E1.
It's impressive.
It really is. The goal to treat this hardware as a, quote, household appliance for health, rather than just a high-tech toy, is incredibly smart. Changing the objective from maximizing graphical specs to maximizing universal use is a real paradigm shift for VR.
Absolutely. It's withered tech.
Right. However, I'm sorry, but I just don't buy that it solves the crisis of human meaning. Let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
The premise that a 20 to 60 minute VR racket game can act as, and I'm quoting the text here, a secular, buildable version of religion is an astonishing overreach.
You think it's too grand a claim?
Way too grand. It assumes human purpose is just a checklist of psychological inputs that can be simulated by a software loop. Furthermore, when you look at the actual economic mechanics described in the text, it's revealing.
You mean the Giving.next funding model?
Exactly. It reveals something much less utopian. The text explicitly states that commercial advertising becomes performance media, where brands pay for action and insurers buy healthier behavior.
Which funds the whole ecosystem.
Right, but this isn't replacing the nobility of essential labor with transcendent meaning. It is replacing it with a gig economy fitness loop that's subsidized by corporate ad spends and insurance risk mitigation.
I see why you think that. But let me give you a different perspective on how we define meaning. The text actually breaks down meaning into 8 specific provisions.
Okay.
Structure, status, belonging, motivation, recognition, teams, ritual, and contribution. Now, work provided these. Sure, but often haphazardly.
Haphazardly is putting it nicely sometimes.
Right. And often wrapped in exploitation or just sheer boredom. E1 scales these provisions perfectly. It allows anyone, regardless of background, size, or ability, to put on a headset in their living room.
And play a game?
And join a local or global team. And have their physical effort demonstrably matter.
But how does it demonstrably matter if the physical capabilities of the players are vastly different? Status is inherently comparative, isn't it?
Well, that is where the score normalization comes in. This is the core innovation of the whole system.
Okay, explain that.
How does the software know a grandmother against a teenager?
It's scoring her against herself.
Yes, against her own physical limits. This means they can play on the exact same team, and their contributions are mathematically balanced based on their individual exertion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It replaces the inherent scarcity of traditional sports, you know, where there are cuts, where people sit on the bench, with total abundance.
I see the appeal of the inclusive design.
Consider this analogy. Just as standardizing the shipping container globalized physical trade and created an explosion of global wealth, E1 score normalization standardizes and globalizes human significance.
That's a strong claim.
But think about it. Why shouldn't a 60-year-old's relative physical exertion count exactly the same as a 20-year-old's in generating societal value?
Because generating societal value is historically tethered to doing something the society actually needs to survive.
Okay, but...
No, hear me out. The shipping container analogy is actually very telling because shipping containers move real goods. They move food, medicine, and building materials.
True.
If the ship sinks, people go without. There is friction. There are real stakes.
I see where you're going with this.
The predictions cited in the text, like the ones attributed to MIT Technology Review, describe E1 as turning human effort into, quote, organized significance.
Which is what we need if work goes away.
But I find that phrasing chilling. Organized significance is almost an oxymoron. True meaning requires real-world stakes.
Does it, though?
Yes. In E1, you are engaging in embodied play governed by a physics referee. If you miss the virtual ball, nothing happens in the real world. Nobody starves. No bridge collapses.
Right. But...
You just cannot mathematically engineer the profound existential weight of being necessary to your community's survival into a normalized score.
That's a really interesting point, though I would frame it completely differently. You are equating meaning entirely with survival stakes.
Because historically that's what it has been.
Sure, but you're looking at meaning through a 20th century lens. As AI takes over supply chains, medical diagnostics, and infrastructure management, humans just won't be needed for survival stakes anymore.
Which is terrifying.
Exactly. When an AI designs the bridge and a swarm of robots builds it, human survival stakes are gone. That is the exact crisis E1 is trying to solve.
By replacing it with a simulation.
By replacing it with a new structure. If the only way you derive meaning is by doing something a machine can't do, you are going to be in very dark psychological territory very soon.
I don't disagree with that part.
The Journal of Human Futures prediction from the text asks if a durable meaning system could emerge from sport. I argue it definitely can.
just from playing a racket game?
Well, by removing the one versus one dynamic, the text actually notes it is always solo or co-op against the game. E1 creates a pure environment for mutual visibility and shared ritual.
Meaning you aren't competing against your neighbor.
Right. And the community actually notices when you are missing. That social accountability is real, even if the ball is virtual.
But the social accountability is artificially induced by the platform's incentive structures, which brings us back to the economic reality versus the utopian vision.
The giving next model.
Yes, you're talking about weaving a new social fabric, but let's look at the actual threads being used here. The text outlines giving next, where players are quite literally paid to play.
As supplement to UBI, yes.
Let's look at the mechanics of who's paying, though. Brands, telecommunications companies, retailers. The text says the ad becomes a reward.
Which is a much better model than passive consumption.
It argues that instead of buying passive reach, sponsors fund challenges and streaks. I have to ask, how is this a post-labor utopia?
Because it rewards healthy behavior.
You've just turned human physical exertion into an interactive advertising medium. It's a monetized behavioral nudge program.
I think that's a very cynical read.
You are sweating in a headset so an algorithm can trigger a micro payout from a sports drink company that strips the inherent nobility right out of the endeavor.
Look, I'm not convinced by that line of reasoning because you are romanticizing traditional labor.
I'm not romanticizing it.
You are romanticizing the make-work bureaucracy. For millions of people, traditional work is already a meaningless grind of abstract wealth transfer.
Well, that's definitely true.
What E1 does is pull those massive, disparate corporate and public budgets into one visible human outcome. Think about the mechanics of the insurers mentioned in the text. They have what is called a prevention incentive.
Right, paying people to not get sick?
Exactly. It is vastly cheaper for a health insurance company to nudge regular physical activity and community participation than it is to treat avoidable, catastrophic physical and mental decline later.
Sure, the math makes sense for them.
So they subsidize the play. Employers subsidize it for workforce resilience. E1 compounds many budget lines to fund a supplemental income tied directly to healthy public activity.
But it's still a transaction.
It removes the abstraction of wealth transfer. You play, you move, you connect with your neighbors, and you are financially rewarded for making the social fabric stronger.
But that assumes the human soul can be satisfied by subsidized fitness routines.
It's more than fitness. It's belonging.
Is it? The fact that an insurance company saves money on your cardiovascular health does not give you a reason to get out of bed in the morning with a fire in your belly?
I think having a team waiting for you does.
And let's look at the infrastructure required to make this happen. What the text calls the Palawan strategy.
Ah, yes. The rollout plan. Proving it works in the real world.
Right. The physical loom for this new social fabric. The text proposes proving the concept on one island, Palawan, then expanding to the Philippines, then Southeast Asia, and the U.S.
Ultimately becoming the last human network.
Yes, they explicitly state they are hiding a human network inside a sport network. They plan to use trusted nodes like schools, churches, and barangays, which are these highly localized neighborhood community networks in the Philippines.
It's a brilliant way to scale trust.
My deep concern here is the fragility of this premise. You are piggybacking on existing organic trust networks to push a single piece of hardware.
The headset.
A $99 headset and one specific game engine to act as the primary infrastructure for human connection post-AGI. That is a massive single point of failure.
Only if you view it as a tech fad.
What happens when the novelty of hitting a virtual ball wears off? Can a single platform realistically bear the weight of human purpose day in and day out, year after year?
It can, but only if we stop viewing it through the lens of a video game and start viewing it as a utility.
A utility?
Yes. You mentioned earlier that the source text makes a brilliant observation about treating VR like a household appliance.
The withered tech concept.
Right. Let's dig into that. Withered tech flips the objective. It's about maximizing use, not specs. Think about your refrigerator or your microwave.
Okay.
You don't get bored of your refrigerator. You don't stop using your microwave because the novelty wore off.
Because I need to eat.
Exactly. You use them because they serve a daily fundamental need. E1 argues that structured belonging and physical exertion are also daily fundamental needs.
But a headset isn't food.
The headset is just the delivery vehicle. The true product is the daily habit, the shared ritual, and the social layer.
I hear you, but...
And regarding the novelty, this is why it's built around team belonging and infinite arenas, not just graphical spectacle. The text quotes a Reddit community post from their 2028 projections.
What does it say?
It says, "I joined for the game. I stayed because my team actually noticed when I was missing." That is the transition from a piece of tech to a true human network.
That's a compelling argument, I admit. But have you considered the homogenization of culture that implies?
Homogenization? How so?
The text boasts that E1 does not narrow sport, it opens it. It claims to welcome every background, every culture, every belief.
Which it does by design.
But by filtering all global human exertion through one specific software architecture, you are enforcing a monoculture of meaning.
I don't see it that way.
Human beings have historically found purpose in incredibly diverse, chaotic, hyper-local ways. We build gardens, we paint, we debate, we restore old cars, we care for the sick.
Nobody is saying you can't still do those things.
But E1 promises a mathematically perfect, anti-cheat, verified play utopia as the new baseline. And in doing so, I think it sanitizes the human experience. It forces everyone's search for meaning into a standardized 2-meter play circle.
I don't see it as a monoculture at all. I see it as a common language.
A common language dictated by an algorithm.
Think about the text highlighting how it allows tiny teams and giant teams, diaspora groups and local schools, to compete in the exact same ecosystem.
Sure. The connectivity is vast.
The 2027 projection from The Economist within the text notes that UBI solved cash flow, but E1 solved something harder. Status, motivation, and social meaning.
Right.
A market for meaning became a civic necessity. We are facing a future where billions of people may literally have nowhere to go on a Monday morning.
No job to clock into.
Exactly. No place that expects them. No team that relies on them. E1 provides a tested, physics-based architecture to turn human exertion into belonging.
Even if it's just in a 2-meter circle.
The fact that it operates in a 2-meter circle isn't a limitation. It's what makes it universally accessible. It doesn't matter if you're in a tiny, cramped apartment in Manila or a sprawling house in Texas. You have the exact same horizon.
But a horizon generated by a headset is still an illusion.
It's a shared illusion, which makes it culture.
You mentioned earlier that humans will be in dark psychological territory when machines can do everything better than us.
Yes.
I agree completely that the post-labor meaning crisis is a genuine existential threat. We are entirely aligned on the problem.
Okay, good.
But retreating into a verified, sanitized virtual arena where we are paid by brands to exercise is a surrender, not a solution.
A surrender?
Yes. It is treating the symptom of uselessness with a digital pacifier. Look, E1 is undoubtedly a masterclass in making VR accessible. I will gladly grant you that.
It's a huge leap toward.
It is a brilliant way to encourage physical health, lower insurance premiums, and get people moving. But we must be incredibly cautious about declaring that a gamified sports platform can replace the deep, complex wellspring of human purpose.
The purpose that used to come from our jobs?
Exactly. Purpose previously occupied by our vocations, our shared struggles, and our economic survival.
But the struggle doesn't disappear. It is simply relocated.
Relocated to a game.
The physical exertion is real. The torque on your shoulder is real. The sweat is real. And most importantly, the friendships and the accountability are real.
I don't doubt the friendships.
As work ends, human meaning will not spontaneously organize itself. The old load-bearing wall of traditional labor is coming down, whether we like it or not.
That is undeniably true.
We can either stand in the collapsing house and debate the nobility of the old wood, or we can build a new structural support.
With a $99 headset.
E1 is an economically viable, mathematically scalable architecture designed to bear that exact weight. It takes our natural desire to play, to strive, and to connect, and weaves it into the social infrastructure an AI-disrupted world desperately requires.
Well, we both agree the wall is coming down, and we both agree that leaving a void where work used to be will inevitably lead to a collapse.
Right.
My skepticism remains firmly rooted in the materials being used for the rebuild.
You just cannot replace a physical, structural timber with a holographic projection and expect the roof to hold during a Category 5 storm.
But if the projection guides real human hands to reach out and hold each other, maybe the people become the structure themselves.
That's a beautiful thought, but it's a big if.
That is exactly what E1 proposes, though. And we leave it to you, our listeners, to reflect on this.
It's something we all need to think about.
When the necessity of a paycheck vanishes and the machines can do everything you used to do, could you find your ultimate purpose, your daily structure, and your deepest community within the boundaries of a 2-meter virtual play circle?
It is the question that will define the next decade of human history.
Thank you for joining us. We will see you next time.